Once again, I welcome you all to worship wherever you are. It's great to know that we are all joined in one spirit as brothers and sisters in Christ. Here in Skegness, we have had a very encouraging week once again with our Meeting Point Community Outreach. Thanks to Eleanor and Stuart for assisting Elsie and myself this week. Poor Eleanor still has her arm in plaster. It was my birthday on Friday, and so as the tradition goes, we all shared some cake. Thank you to everyone for your birthday greetings. Margaret arrived back in Skegness on Thursday, having been discharged from hospital in Yorkshire. She is still struggling a bit on her own and has had a couple of falls. No damage done, but I have had to lift her off the floor, first on Thursday afternoon and then on my way to work on Friday morning. Hopefully she will soon get some strength back in her legs, but we welcome her back. We added a further £65 to our harvest offering during this week, bringing the total to £467. So thank you to everyone who has donated. So, update finished. Let us now prepare to worship the Lord with a short chorus as we praise God from whom all blessings flow. Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Deuteronomy we read that Moses gave the people these instructions from God. Count off 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain. Then celebrate the festival of weeks to the Lord your God by giving a freewill offering in proportion to the blessings the Lord your God has given you. Celebrate the festival of tabernacles for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your winepress. Be joyful at your festival. No one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. And then in Psalm 111 we read, praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. To him belongs eternal praise. Thanks be to God for his words. Amen. You know, we are among the works of the Lord. As we read in today's psalm, great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. So today we gather for a special service of thanksgiving. We are thanking God for the harvest, as has traditionally been done for many years by the church. We're also thanking God for our church fellowship here in Skegness as we come to the end of 17 years and embark on our 18th year. But we also take this time to thank God for who we are, for we too are the works of the Lord. I invite you all to remember yourselves what God has done and is doing for you, and use this time to thank God for your life and all that it means. So let us praise the Lord. Let us praise him in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we gather before you to celebrate your great works. Throughout history, you have shown your grace and mercy. And so now we gather to remember you and all that you have done for us. We draw close to you, Father, Son, and Spirit, our God forever. And we proclaim the greatness of your name. We thank you for the produce of farm and field, garden and orchard, all the work of our hands in the workplace and in home. Stand guard over our worship, lest we who come with full hands leave with empty hearts. Let your creative power, so clearly seen in the abundance of harvest, renew our faith, to yield a harvest of faith which is eternal. Amen. So, all creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Oh, praise him. Alleluia. Let's sing. So as I said, we've designated our meeting as a harvest festival or Thanksgiving. While Skegness is today best known as a seaside holiday resort, we are still surrounded by acres and acres of farmland. And following the tradition in English churches, today we are celebrating and giving thanks to God that the harvest has been safely gathered in from the fields around us. Well, again, I'm not sure it's all in by judging from some of the fields that I see. And of course, with all the modern techniques, there is now in many fields more than one harvest each year. Although with huge shortage of labour, many of the crops are having to be ploughed back once again into the ground. That is after the sheep have had a tasty meal. They normally only get the stumps that are left, so this year they will be celebrating once again the lack of harvest. Harvest isn't just about gathering the crops. It's about reaping a harvest in our lives. And the only way to do this is by following the Maker's instructions and growing our faith. And so during this month at our Sunday meetings, you're invited to take stock of your faith as we look at ways in which we can grow our faith through giving thanks, perseverance, and showing mercy. The question for each of us to ask is, am I growing the kingdom of God in my life and in my community? You know, one of the traditional harvest hymns are the words, "All is safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin." Although we've not yet had any winter storms this month, but winter is not yet officially upon us. Indeed, October is traditionally the start of the autumn season, a time to take stock of the harvest, not only of earth and sea, but also a good time to take stock of our spiritual lives. With the development of farming techniques and the increasing global trade, most of us are disconnected from the cycles of food production. By and large, we're just content ourselves with its consumption, regardless of where it comes from or what it costs in human terms to produce. Even in Lincolnshire, where there's a great deal of food is produced, especially Brussels sprouts. But whatever is happening on the farming scene, whether we're actually directly involved with it or not, we can still use this time of year to give thanks to God. Let's do so now as we sing for the beauty of the earth. Said at the start of our meeting, it's now 17 years since we started this new church. We actually started as a church plant in Sibsey on the outskirts of Boston in September 2008. where we held an evening service every Sunday. This was attended by people from the Boston area and from Skegness. And it wasn't until June the next year that we started morning worship in Skegness. So from June through to December that year, we were meeting in Skegness in the morning and Sibsey in the evening every Sunday. By the December, we felt that we'd established ourselves firmly in Skegness, and so we ceased to meet in Sibsey in order to concentrate our attention in Skegness. Doesn't time fly when you're filled with the Holy Spirit? I just find it hard to take in that it's been so long, and so much has happened. And we've had many testing times, but each time the Lord has shown us the way forward. And here we are now, a totally independent church fellowship, but joined by the Spirit with all Christian brothers and sisters, no matter what particular banner they go under. Sadly, some of our founding members and some who've joined us along the way have passed to glory. Some have moved away from the area, and we pray that they have found a home in another church fellowship. We are thankful for all who have worked with us over the years, and especially those who are part of our fellowship today, as the Lord has always blessed us with new members to serve in this part of his vineyard. We also have a wonderful fellowship with the many visitors to Skegness and local people who spend time in fellowship through our community outreach, which is our cafe and charity shop. This is just so important and is really successful. We just pray that through this fellowship, more people would make a commitment to the Lord. And of course, we now reach people in many different places through our online recording of our worship. So hi to you all. Well, despite all the knocks and bumps along the way, we have had so much to be thankful for. So let us pray. Lord, we come to worship you today and acknowledge that we are, that you are such a generous God who gives us the resources of a fruitful world. You give us the rich diversity of human relationships and varied talents and abilities to serve you and your people. In divine love, you gave us the life of Jesus, your dear Son, and you have empowered your followers with your Holy Spirit. Today, Lord, we thank you for your unconditional love, for your help and guidance as we travel this world you created. And we give thanks for the church, your body, here on earth. And today we especially thank you for our church fellowship here in Skegness, for all who have worked and supported it over the last 17 years. Today and every day we give thanks for its work for you. We give thanks for our love for each other. And we pray, Lord, that it will never stop. Amen. Oh, so now with the backing of our impromptu choir, let us sing our thanks to God for our church here in Skegness. Let's sing "We Give Thanks for Our Church."
We give thanks for our church here in Skegness. We give thanks for His work for God. We give thanks for our love for each other. And we pray that it will to our God. We give thanks for the people who pray here. We give thanks for them young and old. We give thanks for the people who praise here and are grateful for their faith of old. Skegness to our God. We give thanks for our faith in Lord Jesus. We give thanks for His saving way. We give thanks for the power of God's Spirit living in us every day. Sing our Skegness, sing our Skegness, sing our Skegness for the love of God. Sing our us greatness, sing us greatness, sing us greatness to our God. Give us hope in our hearts for the future. Give us hope in our hearts, we pray. Give us faith in our hope for the future. And the witness of our church today. Greatness for the love of God. Sing us greatness, sing us greatness, sing us greatness to our God.
Let us pray. Lord, we come to you once again as one family, your family. We will share your love. We come to praise and thank you for the harvest. In fact, we come to praise you for everything that you've provided for us so that we might live and enjoy our lives to the full. You provide us with all we need. You've given us the earth in which to grow wheat and vegetables and fruit. You've provided grass that our cattle may be fed. You make the rain fall to water the earth and the sunshine to ripen the crops. Lord, all good gifts come from you and we thank you for them. For the heat of the sun, and the refreshment of the rain, for the good and fruitful earth, for the changing seasons, for those who work in field, factory and mine, for those who transport our food across land and sea, for those who trade in shop and market, for those involved in research and creative art, for those who care for others in the public services and in the home, for the service of all in this land and other lands, by whose work we are fed, clothed and housed. From the bottom of our hearts we thank you for your loving care, reaching us daily in so many different ways and through so many people. For it's through your love and care that we are cared for and sustained in this life and in the next. Lord, as we sow, so we gather. Unkindness that produces hurt, selfishness that diminishes others, deceit that corrupts truth. So, Lord, dig over our ground and prepare the soil of our hearts, that what is good may be sown and what grows may be fruitful, and what is harvested may be 100-fold. We pray for all Christians everywhere, keeping alive the word and actions of Jesus. And we pray for the courage to think of the needs of others before our own, to encourage each other to be brave when times are hard. Help us to remember that future generations rely on us to sow the seeds that will produce the harvest for the next generation. Bless our heart, the harvest of our love and care. Love sown in the hearts of people. Love that spreads out like the branches of a great tree, covering all who seek its shelter. Love that inspires and recreates. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So let's sing, "To Thee, O God, our hearts we raise." As we celebrate, let's not forget those who have little to celebrate. Let us pray. God of peace, we remember the events of 2 years ago that brought about the war in the Middle East, leading to the destruction of Gaza and thousands of lost lives in Palestine and Israel, and the imprisonment and death of hostages. We thank you that the return of the hostages has been agreed and that peace is on the horizon. And we thank you for your interventions through all who have negotiated the return of hostages and prisoners. Lord, we continue to keep in mind the people of Ukraine who continue to face occupation and conflict. We look in confusion and despair at the images of suffering and desperation that fill our news. And we see no human end. We pray for those leading negotiations for peace. We pray that those mourning or in despair will find comfort in you. God of peace, we hand this to you as we are powerless and we know that you will bring a good future. God of justice, we pray for all those who are given power or elected to powerful positions. And we think of our own country and our own political leaders. We pray for a sense of calm and balance in all that they say and do, and for compassion in policies and attitudes. We ask that they would have the wisdom and grace to use words that bring unity rather than division, and words of love and care for others rather than of selfishness and unnecessary fear. God of hope, you have called us to be part of your community here, and to bring hope into the lives of others. We think of those who serve us in our churches, including the leaders who teach and lead in worship, the practical people who make things happen and do the unseen work, and all the people who serve quietly without anyone really noticing. We pray for those who serve us in our schools, colleges, shops, surgeries, and all other places that are built in this area. We ask that you would show each of us, as a fellowship of believers, what we can do to bring your light and hope to others. Lord, be merciful to all those in trouble, those who are exhausted, those who are in deep sorrow, those whose life is ebbing away, those who are without friends, those who are forgotten by the world, are sick or in trouble. And Lord, in the silence of our hearts, we bring to you those known to us by name. Lord, life is like a whirlpool. So much to do. We rush around faster and faster, intent on today, this moment. We rush on, no time. And yet, Lord, there are moments when we hear your voice, soft yet insistent. Your voice coming not from some cloudy heaven above and beyond, but somehow centred in the people and situations we ignore. And when we take our courage in both hands and turn to them, we find we turn to you. Lord, you give us the richness of all creation, the wealth of Christ's love, and the precious gifts of your Spirit. Awaken our desire for you, more powerful than our desire for anything else, that desiring you above all things, we may worship you and discover the freedom of being your children, the freedom of knowing and believing and growing our faith, so that we might become the people you created us to be. And Lord, as you taught us, so we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Lord, we thank you for all creation so wonderfully made, and with so much potential. If only we live our lives with the love and compassion that you have shown us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything. Amen. So, I want us to sing a song now, which I haven't sung in years, and it's something that I remember singing when I was a lad. So, forgive me for indulging this, but let's sing now, All Things Bright and Beautiful. So in the book of Deuteronomy, God instructs Moses to tell the people to thank God for blessing their harvest and their business, to take some of the produce of the harvest to the place God has chosen for his worship. You know, you don't have to be farmers or even gardeners to bring our harvest gifts to God. We dedicate all our daily work to God in our offering, whether it be on a farm or in a garden or at a school, in a factory or office, whether our daily work is providing a home for our family. Whether our tools of trade be a tractor or scythe, a laptop computer, a pen or pencil, or a duster and ironing board, all are symbols of our work, which our harvest thanksgiving gives us a chance to dedicate to God and to dedicate ourselves to God's work. Of course, we also dedicate the work we do here to God, for it's God's work that we are doing. What we offer is a service, and that service will be required more and more as people struggle with inflation. It's appropriate to thank everyone who has contributed to this work in whatever way. Today we also dedicate our harvest offering of £467, which of course might just increase by the end of our meeting. So let's pause to make our offering to the Lord. And as we read in the book of Deuteronomy, no one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. Let us pray. Lord, bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make as we use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth. Today, Lord, as we come to thank you for the harvest and for our church, we especially ask a blessing on the work we do here for the kingdom. Help us to continue to give generously of our resources, both time and money, so that we may continue the work you have appointed us to do in this small corner of your vineyard. Amen. Let's sing now, Thank We All Our God.
Oh,
stop to think that sometimes we forget the very essentials of our faith. We get stuck on words, words that we take for granted, words that just roll off the tongue at appropriate moments in our conversations, particularly words such as thank you. Do we really know just what we're thanking God for? At such moments, do we remember the whole crux of our faith, the resurrection of Jesus? Ours is a resurrection faith. In the death and resurrection of Jesus lies the whole purpose of Jesus. In our first scripture reading this morning, Paul continues to stress perseverance in sound teaching, especially in teaching about the resurrection. He also advises Timothy to put the gospel plainly to the church, which he then expresses in a very few words. He says, "Remember Jesus Christ raised from death." As always, Paul's words to his young friend are encouraging, but more importantly, they are simple and to the point. Let's hear now from his second letter to Timothy.
The reading is from Second Letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarrelling about words. If it is not so, it is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen."
You know, people living at the edge of society often get on well with one another. Their misery gives them a common bond. In our gospel reading today, there is no barrier between a leprous Jew and a Samaritan fellow sufferer. With one voice, the mixed group of 10 can cry out for help from Jesus. And Jesus responds willingly to these social outcasts. He sees their problem, not their religious denominations. Yet their faith is put to the test. They are sent off to the priests for an official declaration of health, without any obvious healing having occurred. As they were setting off on their way, they find they are healed. And significantly for this story, only the Samaritan returns to give thanks. Let's hear now from Luke's Gospel.
The reading is from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praised God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Where were they not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen."
In that second letter to Timothy, the key is memory and remembering. Here Paul calls on Timothy, and of course those with him, to remember Jesus Christ, to remember that he is risen. They are to remind the people of God, the church, of Jesus' lordship. And only if one holds this memory can faith be lived. Indeed, can faith grow. In our gospel reading today, the message is clearly also about remembering. Remembering to say thank you. 10 lepers are blessed and receive healing, but only one returns to say thank you. Those of us of a certain generation remember how as children we always faced the dreaded battle over thank you letters, the price to pay for Christmas and birthday presents. It was even worse when the present we received was a bit dull, or we already had plenty of socks anyway. Our parents still expected us to sit down and write thank you letters to all the relatives, aunties and uncles, many of whom only ever communicated at such times. Not like today, when you can text or phone, or even send a card by an email. So much easier than to sit down quietly and write numerous letters. I don't know about you, but in each of our letters we had to include news about how we were doing at school and whatever else we were up to. Well, not everything. While we're not expected to write thank you letters to God, there is the same expectation for us to express our gratitude and thanks. And Jesus makes this point when he says, Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? In this account in Luke's Gospel, 10 lepers had banded together for company, and they saw Jesus as they were going to collect food. We don't know how they heard about him, but they shouted at him to have pity. He didn't perform any fancy show, no fuss or emotional effects, like some modern healers and miracle workers. He simply told them to show themselves to the priest. Do you know, it would have been a tremendous act of faith to set off, believing that they would be made well. So perhaps it's not surprising that when they discovered their healing, they rushed off, first to the priest and then home. Only one turned back to thank Jesus. And he was the despised half-caste. Think about this. If someone instantly cured your illness, how would you react? But you see, God doesn't demand our thanks. Jesus would have understood why 9 lepers didn't come back, and he would have forgiven them. But the right response was to return. 1 leper out of 10 saw that not only had he been healed physically, but he also saw the significance. And so that's why he returned to Jesus. So Luke tells us that the 10 lepers stood at a distance, and more than that, he tells us that Jesus kept his distance. And you know, this is a bit strange. This isn't something that we're used to hearing. Most of the stories have Jesus going in where others fear to tread. But not this time. He keeps his distance. Go to the priest for healing, he calls. And immediately the distance increases. This is just so significant. It demonstrates the distance that there is between most people and God. A void created by our inability to accept Christ's sacrifice and to listen and respond to his call. But like all the lepers in the story, many people turn to the church or ask for prayer the minute they're in a jam. They seem to be losing control of their lives. And like the 9 lepers, most immediately turn their back on the church as soon as they think they've achieved what they came for. Jesus actually expected all the lepers to return, not to give him thanks, but to give glory to God, to show that they realised the whole significance of the event. Well, of course, only one did, and when he returned, all distance and alienation of every kind between himself and Jesus was gone. The cleansing of his physical illness had brought him to recognise the divine power of Jesus the Jew, and he totally and fully accepted its implications for his life. He returned to Jesus and received spiritual healing, forgiveness, reconciliation, and, of course, the greatest gift, eternal life. Salvation and eternal life and the kingdom of God had come within the reach of all 10. But of course, with the exception of but one of them, not even gratitude could interest them in anything more than their physical healing. In the light of all that it's done and continues to do in our lives, we have to be so much to be grateful to for God, to God. He's constantly working in and through our lives. And I'm sure that more often than not, our response is to give our grateful thanks. But have we, like the Samaritan, realized the significance of all God's gifts to us? And if we have, how have we thanked God? By coming to church meetings regularly to join the worship of God's people? By working hard to live as Jesus would have us live in this troubled world? By giving him our lives as a glad response of gratitude? Some of us may have been Christians for so long that we've forgotten how much we have been rescued by our Christian faith. Perhaps it's time to reflect. Reflect on how and when we give thanks. Think back through your past day, then week, then month. Is there anything you've forgotten to say thank you for? And if there is, make sure you do it now. Perhaps it's time for each of us to remember that our call to follow Christ is in effect Jesus saying, I healed you. I died for you. I gave everything so that you might have life. Will you sacrifice a little for me so that others may know the healing by which you have been healed? Just like the physical healing in this story, all God's gifts are meant to lead us to the person who is the supreme gift to humankind. When I first felt called to Christian ministry, it was followed by a very personal experience of Jesus. And that encounter radically changed my whole life. It didn't make me immune from suffering. In fact, in many respects, I was materially better off before I found Jesus in a very human and secular way. What it did do was give purpose and meaning to my life. It made me realize that worldly success doesn't carry forward the work of God. It made me realise that it's often out of suffering that the kingdom of God derives power and authority. That encounter blessed me with faith and humility. You know, faith and humility are inseparable. Faith is a simple act of following Jesus, putting one foot in front of the other in response to God's call. And humility recognises that personal needs are secondary to the importance of obeying that call. My dear friends, our whole Christian life is about gifts. The gift of God's love, the gift of God's Holy Spirit, and with the most important and significant gift being God's gift of Jesus, who suffered, died, and rose again, so that through faith in Christ, we might all receive salvation and eternal life. Paul says, remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Our right response to all that God gives to us should be to give more of ourselves, our prayers, our money, our time, our talents, in grateful and never ceasing thanks. And faith will grow as we give thanks. Amen. So again, we close our worship today with a very traditional harvest hymn. We sing, we plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand.
Jesus.
bring to you, Lord, our memories of our life so far, however long or short, thanking you for all that we have learned. Help us to see ourselves as you see us. Help us to see other people as you see them. Thank you for the different friends we have. We ask you to show us what really matters. Help us to remember how much you love us and everyone, and help us to remember to always say thank you. As we go in love and peace to serve you, Lord, and your people, with the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.